to do above, exceeding abundant above all that we ask or even think this morning. We can't put any limits on God. There's a verse over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 78, verse number 41. It said the children of Israel limited the holy, limited God. You know, and I thought about that for a long time. You know, and I heard Brother Dean one time clear that thought up. You know, I'm a young man and probably a little ignorant to be even teaching on limiting God. But he said this. He said, you cannot technically limit God on what He can do. But you can limit what He'll do for you. So I believe our country is limiting God right now. They've turned their face away from Him when they should have turned their back. Should have turned toward Him today. You know, our country was once the heart of our country is the heart of missions. We're sending missionaries out into an international foreign field each and every day. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a time this nation that we live in is going to be the greatest mission field that we've ever seen. I was out in Oregon this week, all the way across the United States, and I'm going to tell you, there's a mission field out there. People have forgot God out there. And the Bible said that any nation that forgot God would be turned into hell. If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts, chapter number 3. I'm going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning, found in the book of Acts, chapter number 3. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." It'd be good for us to get up in the temple and pray a little bit. That's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not during normal church time as we know it. I've been reading in a book by a guy named E.M. Bounds. The title of the book is "Men of Prayer Needed." And I remember one of the passages that he quoted from some guy. I don't even know who the guy's name even is right now. But it said this. It says, "Study not to be a fine teacher or preacher." He said, "Rams' horns, Jericho's are blown down with ram's horn." But be able to pray and know what God wants in that hour. You know, and I think our churches have lost the power of God because of prayer. And God wants us to pray because we have the greatest privilege that we ever have, and that's the privilege of prayer. And nobody, they can take your Bible away from you. They can come here today and take my Bible straight from my hand. But I tell you what they can't take from my heart. They can't take that prayer out of my heart. Peter and John was going up into the temple to pray here. And it says this in verse number 2, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom which they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." I got this, God gave me this message some time ago. I got saved in 1998 and began teaching Sunday school probably in the early 2000, somewhere around there. And God gave me this message and He's been building it up ever since then. I've taught it to my class when I was teaching teenagers, and I'm going to teach it to you guys today. He's been building it up all this time, you know, and He's given me great insight into this passage, you know, and I want us to look at it today. Here at the Beautiful Gate, we find that Jesus He's ascended up into heaven now, and the book of Acts is a transitional book. It's where He's transitioning His work unto His disciples. Each one of us is the disciple, and He's gave each one of us a work to do. And Jesus, He's given each one of you a special work. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," and each one of you has a ministry, and it just so happens Peter and John's ministry here was to, they had done exactly what Jesus had told them to. Remember in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, it said, they should tarry at Jerusalem. He said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. That's what Peter and John was doing. They was tarrying back in Jerusalem, and now Peter has preached, and the day of Pentecost has fell, and 3,000 souls were added unto the church, and now we're going to see the first apostolic a miracle after Jesus had ascended up into heaven. It was for a lame man. And I want each one of you to imagine yourself, you were that lame man. You were that man that could not get to God. This was a man that they laid at the gate called Beautiful. Most people say that this beautiful gate was a gate of gold. And it was. And many people disputed what this gate actually was. But the guy I was reading after, he said it was a place on the steps leading up to the Nicanor gate. It was a place which the Jews passed from the court of the Gentiles to the court of the women. It was there where we find that a great barrier had been erected up, a great barrier that separated this man from getting into that temple that Solomon had built. And that barrier became known as the middle wall of partition. And it separated those Gentiles from all the Jews that could pass into the temple. And we see Peter and John, that they was going into the temple to pray, and they saw this lame man laying there, and they saw him with no hope. You see, there were three places that they would lay the poor people in order to, and back in the Bible days, to try to get some alms or try to beg. You'll see, first of all, they lay them on the highway side begging. You remember old blind Bartimaeus? He was on the highway side begging. The second place they would lay them, they lay them in front of a rich man's home. You remember Lazarus in Luke chapter number 16. And then we'll find the lame man here. They lay him at the temple gate so that people passing into the temple may look on him and say, I can help this man. And they would try to get people going into the temple to give them some money or some kind of alms, some kind of gift, you know, to get them down life's way. There was three people there. But I want you to see, first of all, in this story, there is a lame tragedy. There's a lame tragedy. You see, this guy, he had never been able to walk around like me and you. We find in Acts chapter number 4, this guy was above 40 years old. He was a man that had been laid there daily. He had several needs in his life. Not only did he have a physical need, but he had a spiritual need. And each one of you, I want to say this, you have physical needs, but you have a spiritual need. And I'm going to tell you where our churches are. We're good. We're easy to give people their physical needs. But what about the spiritual needs of our people that are not only in our churches, but in our families, in our homes, in our cities, in our counties, in our states, in our country that we live in? This man, first of all, had a serious defect. If you look down in verse number 1 there, verse number 2, he said he was lame. The man could not walk. And I thought about this for a long time. What would it be like to go through school and never be able to play like all the other kids? Never be able to play like all the other kids. Never be able to get up and walk around. Never be able to go to a football game or any kind of game. Never be able to associate with all those people that had all these physical abilities. This is where this man found himself. He found himself lame. He could not walk. He could not get up by himself. He was solely dependent on somebody else to carry him to this gate. This guy had laid at this gate above 40 years. Could you imagine every day of your life, all you had to do was look forward to getting up every day and somebody carrying you to a gate so you could beg? See, I was 19 years old, and every day I was just like this lame man. I'd lay down, and I could not, this middle wall of partition that was between me and God, I could not get across because I was solely dependent upon myself. But there was a wall there, and there was a man named Jesus one day that come by my way, and he passed by, and he bridged my hand, he took my hand, and he took God's hand, and he put them together, and he gave me a way to get to heaven. That's where this lame man found himself. He found himself there watching all those religious folks pass him by each and every day. And I will tell you this, I'll tell you where religion will leave you each and every time. It'll leave you empty. And that's where this blind man, this lame man found himself. He found himself empty there every day because the religion had left him there. He had a serious defect. He was lame. Secondly, he had a sad dependence. This man, his whole life had been laid there. His mom and daddy probably every day had carried him. And you know what that man was? He was a burden to his mom and daddy. He was a burden to them. He was a man that was solely dependent on them to get him into that temple so he could beg and have food on his table. and have something to eat. Not only that, his sole desire, he was a beggar. He wanted to ask alms of everybody entered into the temple that they would give him something. What kind of life is that? And I began to think about that in my own life. I was this man. And each one of you, if you've ever been saved, was this man. We were the blind Bartimaeus. We were this lame man. We were the ones that was halt. We were the ones that was withered. He was a lame tragedy. And that's all he knew. He was stuck in his own condition. And all he could see was people, the religious folks, passing by him each and every day. He was a lame tragedy. Second of all, that you'll see that there in our story, you'll see a longing talk. Look down in verse number 3. It said, "And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." I want you to know this was ordained by God. I thought about this for a long time. I thought about this, that even Jesus himself going into the temple. This guy was laid there daily. Peter and John walked by. I'm pretty sure that this wasn't Peter and John's first time going into the temple. I'm sure Jesus had even passed by this man, because we know Jesus went into the temple. Jesus was able to pass through those gates. He was able to go through that middle wall partition. He was able to go through there. You'll see the providence of God in that. And I thought about this several times in my own life. I thought, why didn't I get saved at an earlier age? This man right here, he probably seen Jesus walk right by him. He'd seen Peter and John. He'd seen Thomas. He'd seen all these people. All these people that were supposed to be religious in that day. These people that he'd heard of. He'd probably heard how Jesus had healed old Bartimaeus and made him to bring back his sight. He'd heard all these stories, and he'd probably even seen him go up into the temple. But I want you to see this. God wanted to use Peter and John. God in his providence knew that this man was going to be saved. He knew that Peter and John was going to be able to take that gospel by him one day. And I thought about that in my own life. I said, I thought about this a lot of times. I said, why didn't I get saved at an earlier age? You see, I was already out of high school. I was in college when I got saved. You know, I was nearly 20 years old. And I said, man, if I'd have been saved in high school, how I could have did this and did that. And I said, and God says, no, he's got a special time set aside for each one of us. And it was a longing talk. This talk that Peter and John was going to give this man was ordained by God, and it was given to him only on that day. Look what happened here. First of all, I want you to notice they saw him. They saw him. It said there in verse number 4 there, it said, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." They saw that man. Who was Peter and John? There was nobody special. We think of Peter and John as, man, these guys were great evangelists. These guys were men like Billy Graham. These men were the men that was there to move them, the whole world with God. But you know who they were? They were two fishermen from Galilee that God had used greatly. We know Peter preached there at Pentecost, and when you know 3,000 souls were saved, but he was just a fisherman. You know, and a lot of us were waiting to see if God can give us some kind of title or if God can do something, but he's able to use two fishermen. And I'm going to tell you, he's able to use each one of you. And these guys saw him. That word "saw" there is the same thing that Jesus saw the guy at the pool of Bethesda over in John chapter number 6. The Bible said in John chapter 6 and verse number 6, it said, "And Jesus saw him lie, and he knew he'd been in that case for a long time." I'm glad Jesus knows our case. See, Jesus saw this lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Bible said he'd been in infirmity there for 38 years. So for 38 years, he'd been laid there in his own infirmity. And he'd carry his bed and he'd lay there at that pool. And the Bible said he'd wait for the troubling of the water. And when the angel troubled the water, if he was the first one into the pool, you would be healed of whatever disease you had. But that man told Jesus this. He said, "I have no man to carry me to the pool." And Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And Jesus made him whole because he saw him lie. I wonder how we see folks that are around us. How do you see people that are around you? I remember one day I was there, and there was a guy pumping gas beside me. You know, and I began to look at him, and I said, "I really don't have time to witness to this man. And I really don't have time to do anything." And God said, "You got to make time." You see, everybody's not going to look just like we are. They're not going to smell just like we are. You know, and God said, give him a tract. And that's what I did. I gave him a tract. But I tell you, this guy saw him. I wonder if we see people the way Jesus sees people. A lot of times we look through our eyes and we say, God probably is not going to use them. God ain't going to use him. God can't do anything with him. But I'm telling you, what seems impossible in our eyes is possible through the eyes of the Lord. They saw him. Second of all, they spoke to him. If you look down in verse number 6, it said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what he did? He took time out of his life to speak to this guy. No doubt Peter and John, they was passing through the temple. They'd probably seen this man before. But I'm going to tell you, this one time that they was going to pass by this guy, God had foreordained before the world had ever began that they would share the gospel with him there that day. And there would be enough power of God on those two men's life that he'd use those guys to get them to Christ, get that lame man to Christ. They spoke to him. I want you to see this also. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36, it's the same way Jesus saw those people at Galilee. He said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus looked on people with compassion. Now, I'm going to tell you who the people you'll win to the Lord. You will not win those that we've been ugly to. You will not win those that we've been obnoxious to. But I'll tell you who you'll win. You'll win the ones you're willing to get down in the ditch with. The ones that you think that God can't use, the one that God is going to use greatly, is the one that you'll get down and you'll invest in their life, and they'll be in turn invest in your life. And I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll be a lifelong companion to you. You see, those people that you get down in the ditch with, they'll be your friends. There's been people I've helped out money-wise, monetary-wise. There's been people I've helped out prayer-wise. But I tell you who people that you'll become companions with, those you're willing to get down in the ditch with, those you're willing to labor with in God's Word and in God's house, and God will use you greatly in that matter. They saw him. They spoke to him. They took time out of their life. You notice what they did? Thirdly here, they showed him. You know what they did? They presented Jesus unto him. And I wrote this down. I said, they did not give him what he wanted. They gave him what he needed. A lot of times we're ready to jump on and give people what they want. My son may come to me and he'll say, Daddy, I need this. I mean, I've never seen kids today that have to play sports have all kind of accessories. I mean, if he's got to walk to the road, he's got to have some kind of accessory to go to the road. And he'll, because they do. I mean, he's got to have a glove. He's got to have a belt. Some kind of accessory. And it's easy for me to give him what he wants. But it's a lot harder for me to give him what he needs. And I'm going to tell you, parents, you're sitting in here, and your grandparents sitting in here, there's family members in your life right now that they want something from you. But I tell you what you need to do. You need to do like Peter and John. They gave him what he needed. And you know what that was? It was the gospel. He said, silver and gold have I none. Peter wasn't a rich man. He was a man that fished all his life. He knew where all the fish was. He knew where to go to catch them. But he didn't have a lot of money. But he gave him what he needed. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to give people what they need instead of what they want. Most of the time, we're too busy giving people what they want and not what they need. They showed him. They showed him Jesus. Thirdly, we see that not only we see a lame target, a longing talk, but thirdly here, we'll see a lasting touch. If you look down in verse number 7 here, it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I want you to notice what Peter did here. He gave him the right hand of fellowship. Peter just didn't leave him there after he told him, says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. The Bible said he reached down and he took him up by the right hand. And I'm going to tell you, there's people in here that's not been saved long, just like this lame man here. And I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to give them the right hand of fellowship. You know, it's our responsibility to teach people how to be a disciple of Christ. We didn't get saved one day and become the world's greatest evangelist the next day. I can tell you that for sure. Each day I struggle with things, and I need somebody that will take me by the right hand and show me some things. God woke me up this morning at 2:30, and I didn't hardly go back to sleep after. And he showed me this. There was a man that showed me a lot in my days. His name was Brother John D. Weathers. He showed me how to take people by the right hand and give them the right hand of fellowship. Little things that he had done, little things he had said, he didn't know what he was doing in my life. And I remember one time I was walking with him with his witness, and I remember, I can tell you a bunch of stories. I remember I'd see him sit in wisdom. The church where I got saved had a camp, and it had a porch with some rocking chairs, and I'd see him out there in the morning. He'd be reading his Bible, and I'd sit down beside him, and he'd talk to me. Little did I know, later on, he'd be taking me to church up here. That's how I found out about this church. I came to start a church here in 1999, and God gave me a pastor to teach me. He left me with a lasting touch. I remember one time that we was out witnessing, and he gave me a story. He's talking about people. You know, they said, you witness to people sometimes, and they say, I can go to church at my house. I can watch it on TV. Y'all all heard that, hadn't you? I can tell by your faces. But that's what he said. He said to that, he said, well, tell them you can have a baby at home too, but the best place to go is the hospital. And it's always stuck with me, little things that people say and little things that you guys have said. And I could go around the building and say little things that each one of you have put in my life that's a lasting touch. You see, Peter and John didn't leave that man on the side of the road begging, asking for alms. He said he reached down and he took him by the right hand and he gave him the right hand of fellowship and he brought him up. And our pastor, several times, I could tell you messages after messages that he's preached to me. His grip don't slip. And all kinds of things that he's put in my life that I remember as I go down life ways. You know, leave people with a lasting touch. What will this world remember you by? I got to thinking about last night about Miss Dorothy Brown. Used to sit right there, and she'd sit there and praise God. A lot of y'all gonna know that name, and a lot of you're not. But she was a lady that was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she sat right there. And I can tell you, time after time, when she got up and raised her hand and praised God. And I got to thinking about Miss Carolyn Huckabee and Miss Cindy. And I remember Brother David, he called on Miss Cindy to come up here and sing Amazing Grace. And she didn't know she was touching my heart and leaving me with a lasting touch. You know, all these people that are going through life, leave them with a lasting touch. See, these little kids that you're raising, you know what you're doing? You're leaving them with a lasting touch. Peter and John was leaving this guy with a lasting touch. The Bible said, no doubt this man was probably didn't smell like Peter and John. He didn't look like Peter and John, but I tell you what they did. They took him up and gave him the right hand of fellowship, and they offered him right hand of fellowship, and they brought him in there. And God was able to use that lame man on down through here in Acts chapter number 4 to be able to reach the Sadducees and the Pharisees of that day, the religious folks. Not only you see a lame target, a longing talk, a lasting touch, but I'll leave you with this. You'll see that the lame man became a living transformation. You see, that man that couldn't walk has been transformed. He was able to walk now. He was able to do all that stuff that all those people had counted him out and said he couldn't do anything. He'd been there for above 40 years. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 4, all those people that had passed him by and walked right on by him, now he was able to do that. Now he was able to enter into the temple. All that middle wall partition had been taken down. He's able to pass by there by himself. His mom and daddy that had took him to the temple each and every day of his life, now he's able to enter into that temple by his own power. He was a living transformation. He was a trophy of grace. Look down in Acts, look in verse number 8 here. It says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at which what had happened to him. I tell you what he was a trophy of grace to God. God used this man. I can't find any other words. I'm certain that when he was praising God, he was saying something. That's the only words I see about this man. But I see him there with Peter and John in chapters after that. You know, and God was using that man's miracle to bring other folks to Christ. Even though that man wasn't saying a word, he was stepping aside and letting Peter preach Jesus unto all these Sadducees and all these Pharisees and bringing them to Christ. Not only was he a trophy of grace, he was a trophy of God. I want you to know this. Each one of you here today, you're a trophy of God. God didn't save you just so you think you were special. But you are. You're special to God. I want you to know you're a trophy to Him. Romans 12, verse number 2 says this. It says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be transformed in this world we're living in, you're going to have to renew your mind. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get through this world, you'll have to be transformed from your mind into the mind of Christ. This lame man right here that has seen all those people walk by him all these years was now able to be a great witness to God, not by what he said, but because what he did. He walked and he praised God all the days of his life after that. Peter and John was able to use this man's example and saw what God had done to him, to reach several thousand people after that. That's all I got this morning.